You ever have those one of those moments in worship where you're like, after that song, like, we're good. We can just go. But I got something here. We'll just do it. See what happens. But if you listen to those words that God is for you all around you, I want you to keep those words from that song on the top of your mind as we go through. The next couple of weeks, we will be jumping out of our series, Trust the Story, and moving into a two-week series on prayer. And there's always new things we can learn about prayer. And I want to share a story with you that I read a while ago, and it helped me reframe a little bit of my own prayer life. And so as I read this, it's going to be a little interesting, but let's stick with it. So here's the story. In a mother's womb, there were two babies. And one baby turns to the other baby and asks, "Is there life after delivery?" The other replies, "Oh, of course, there has to be something after delivery." The first baby says, "Nonsense. There's no life after delivery. What kind of life would that be?" "I don't know," said the second baby. "Maybe there's more life in after delivery than in here. Maybe we can walk with our legs and eat with our mouths. Maybe we'll discover new senses that we don't even know about or even understand now." The first baby said, "That's absurd. Walking is impossible, and eating with our mouths? The umbilical cord has been scientifically proven to give all the nutrients that we need, and it's far too short. Life after delivery is to be logically excluded." The second baby says, "Well, maybe it's just different than in here. Maybe we won't need that physical cord anymore." The first said, "Okay, if there's life after delivery, then why hasn't anyone come back from there? Darkness is the end of life. In the after delivery, there is darkness, oblivion. It takes us nowhere." But the second baby says, "But certainly we'll meet mother. She will take care of us." The first baby says, "Mother? You actually believe in mother? If mother exists, then where is she now?" Well, the second says, "She's all around us. We are of her. It is in her that we live. Without her, the world would not and could not exist." And the first says, "Well, I don't see her. It's only logical that she is not here." And the second baby replies, "But think about it. When you're in silence, when you really listen, you can feel her presence. When you really listen, you can hear her loving voice speaking to you. You can hear her heartbeat. And it beats for you." That last little paragraph that the second baby shares has changed a lot of my prayer life. There are times in my life where I feel like God is somewhere else. You know, we kind of grew up with this idea that God's up in the clouds somewhere, just watching all of us. That God is separate from our reality. But this story reminds me that God is all around us. God is not separate from us. God is with us all of the time. We are connected. Just as a baby is connected to the mother in the womb, we are connected to God. Now, that idea of prayer really helped me as I found myself being a commuter on 35E to 494 up to Woodbury. In 2016, I was called away from Prince of Peace to a church in Woodbury. And while I said yes to the church in Woodbury, my family said, no, we're not moving. And I said, all right. So I commuted for 7 years, about 20, 25 minutes, 30 minutes a day up there and then 30 minutes back. I did it every single day. And actually, when I came back here 2 years ago, but the first couple weeks, I would find myself magically on 35E driving to 494. Did anybody do that? You get in the habit and all of a sudden you're like, where am I? What is going on? But that idea of prayer really helped shape me as I became that commuter. And I will have to confess, yes, somewhat of a, let's say the word, disgruntled commuter. The problem was everybody else is driving. Everybody else was the problem. And I couldn't understand why they drove the way they did. I was getting frustrated day after day after day. But I realized that God was with me in that moving vehicle and not somewhere else. And then I could pray. I could pray. I may not understand what's going on, but I could pray. That I wasn't disconnected. I didn't have to get out. I didn't come to church. I didn't have to go to a special place. I could pray. Now, many of you in this room have a designated place. You have a designated time for prayer, which is awesome. It's a great practice and it's a great discipline. I am way more scattered than that. And for me to know that I am just as connected to God as a baby is in the womb gives me peace. And that's what Paul is saying in this scripture text to this church in Philippi. Paul is writing to this church about prayer. And at that very moment, Paul is in prison. We're not sure which time he was in prison when he wrote it. He was in prison a couple different times. But it could have been the very last time he was in prison and he was facing death and he ended up getting killed. Can you imagine what it must feel like to be in prison, knowing that you may never get out, and you write these words, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And this is the result of prayer, the peace of God. Not my peace, not the world's peace, but the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Praying just in that simple commute day after day after day, it didn't change any of the other drivers. Didn't change any of them. Who do you think changed? Me. That's what prayer does. Prayer changes us. Knowing who we are, knowing that we are children of God, just as connected as a baby in the womb to God's love changes us. That's what prayer does. It changes us and we get God's peace. There's a lot of things in our world that we don't understand. Pastor Rory talked about it in his prayers. We don't understand. All of the prayers that are written on the prayer wall, I do invite you just to walk over there. It's not that far. You can make it from over there. I guarantee you. We're struggling to understand the world. But God's peace will guard our hearts and our minds by changing us. We're going to be moving into a capital campaign. Woo! Everybody excited? We're moving into capital campaign the end of September through the next couple of months and the next couple of years. And there's already a lot of work being done. We started back in May with six different volunteer groups that have been meeting all over the summer. We went through listening sessions. We went through feasibility studies. We did an online survey. We've done all of the work. And we know one thing for sure. We need a new roof. The last rainstorm, we had leaking over here where this lectern was over there and it was leaking on the lectern. So we put the baptismal font over there to catch all the water. Sorry, no, I'm joking. It's purified water. We have a leak in the back over there. If you walk out these doors, you can look straight up right out there. There's leaks coming through. There's leaks all over the place. And we walk in here, you're going to see a video on it. It's going to be kind of funny, but not really funny. Because when you have buckets everywhere, it's a little bit interesting. So we know we need to connect into our future in some pretty interesting ways. And so we're ready to share a little bit with you about what all this is going to look like. And it's going to be up to you guys to decide if we get to do all of this through your generosity. The first thing I'd like for you to do is pray. Pray. Pray about this process. Pray to see how God is leading you. And we have what in the marketing business is called a teaser video to share with you right now. One of the teams that we have gathered is a communications team, and they gather together through prayer and through some leadership, and they came up with these three words. This is all led by the congregation. I didn't come up with this language. Preserve, open, and plant. That leadership team was very clear that we need to preserve who we are, our identity, and celebrate our past as we move into the future. Knowing who we are and where we've come from. We don't want to deny our past. We want to lift up the amazing ministry that we've been a part of and stand on the shoulders of those who've come before us. Not beat them down, stand on their shoulders. And we know that we want to be open. All are welcome. And all means all, everybody. And we know we want to plant seeds of faith, the gospel, in the next generations and in those that may not have heard about this Jesus. Preserve, open, and plant. That's what we're going to be about. And so we invite you to join us along this journey, and we're going to just start with prayer. So let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks that you call us to be your people, a people so deeply connected to you that we're like a baby in a womb. Completely surrounded by your love, connected to you. Lord God, we know that there are moments in our lives when we use our legs and we walk away. But you're still with us. There isn't any place we can go where you're not already there. Thank you. Help us see that. Help us feel it. Help us in the time of silence to hear your loving voice, to hear your heartbeat, a heartbeat that beats for us. We ask, Lord, as we move in to this time of a capital campaign and dreams and thoughts and hopes and all those kinds of things, that you remind us who we are. We ask all this in your holy and precious name. And we all sit together, amen.